I like Free For All Friday because I get the chance to talk to you guys and have an outlet for things that I feel like I really want to talk about when I don't really have many other outlets for that. So welcome. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology. Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about here on the Council of Trent. So as I said, I mean, I don't use social media. I don't have a Facebook, don't have an Instagram. Well, I mean, Council of Trent has an Instagram and a TikTok, but I don't manage that. That's just to share clips of what we do online. I have an X account, but I rarely ever use it. Rarely. I don't want to be on X. I don't want to be debating people on X. It's just a waste of time. It sucks up my time that I should be spending either at work or with family. So I will come across dopey things. And sometimes on X, I'll find these dopey things. And I want to be like, oh, that's wrong. And I want to reply. But it would just suck me into something to waste my time and probably not really do any good. So I don't do that. But what's nice is a free for, and I mean, I could make an episode on it, but a lot of times it's things that have nothing to do with the purview of the Council of Trent. So I'm not going to put it out there. But Free For All Friday, hey, the rule of Free For All Friday is if I want to talk about it, I get to talk about it. That's how it works. So that is what I want to talk about today. This is a post I found from Jake Shields. So he was, I think, a kickboxer, like an MMA fighter, retired, does podcasting, has a pretty big reach, kind of into like conspiracy theory stuff, into the, you know, the Jews are bad guys. You know, I mean, I'm not going to get into all of that here, but he's not a fan. I'll just put it out there. But here's an example of a post where someone just puts something out there and it sounds plausible to them, but they haven't gone through everything. They don't know all the facts. And then they're just promoting misinformation that has been debunked for the last 35 years, really. So this is what Shields wrote, and then I'll break down some of the issues here. He said, in 1983, the McMartin Preschool was accused of taking children in tunnels for satanic rituals. It seemed too ridiculous to be true and was mostly ignored. In 1990, parents hired an archaeologist. He discovered tunnels full of satanic artifacts. In 2019, an FBI memo confirmed this. Okay, so a lot wrong here. First, let's go back to McMartin Preschool. This took place in LA County back in the 1980s. The first accusations began in 1983. Investigation took place in 84 to 87, and the trial lasted from 1987 to 1990. There were technically two trials. This was the kickoff of the daycare sex abuse satanic panic scandal. Not scandal, but there was this moral panic, a hysteria called, you know, the daycare abuse panic or the satanic panic. And a lot of this, I mean, there was stuff building up for this in the 1970s. And providing the ground for this, it goes like this, right? A lot of women go into the workforce in the 1970s. And so that required a huge uptick in daycare centers. Now, I would say that's actually a bad thing. It would be really nice if, you know, children were raised by their parents at home. I just don't get when someone, there are some people where they will go to work, and I understand economic necessity, I get that. But if there are two parents working and 100% of the other parent's salary goes to pay for childcare, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're harming your child so that you can get the experience of working. That's ridiculous. If you're not doing it because you've got to like keep the lights on or food in the fridge, if it's just so you can like enjoy work and pay for, and all the money goes towards somebody else raising your child, come on. Well, maybe I'll get some people mad at me for that, but I don't care. I don't care because I'm just going to say when things are wrong, when they harm children. And I'm going to say when allegations of harming children are false. So you've got this anxiety that, oh, you know, people, there are large numbers of children for the first time are away from their parents for long periods of time at these daycare centers. Some of them spring up pretty quickly. And so there started to be accusations at some of them that daycare centers were involved in sexual abuse of children. Now, was there sexual abuse at daycare centers? Yeah, I'm sure there was, just as there is today. There's bad people everywhere. The panic was that there was a claim that there were like these rings of Satanists engaged in like these over the top ritualistic acts of abuse. And they do get over the top when you look at what some of the allegations are that come from these children who are preschool, right? So they're like 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds. When you're 3 or 4 years old, you have a very loose grasp of reality, and you're easily suggestible by adults. So I'll go through Shields' post here. But the first thing he says, what 1983, McMartin Preschool was accused of taking children into tunnels for satanic rituals. So that happened. It was McMartin Preschool. It was in Manhattan Beach, California, owned by the McMartin family. And first there was a mother who thought one of her children had been abused. It later turned out that she had mental illnesses. And then so they sent out a letter to all the other parents saying, hey, ask your children, has anything bad happened to them? And suddenly all the parents are taking their kids in to the police, and not to the police, but they brought in a special private group to question the children about the abuse. And what happened, and it was really good, by the way, that this was videotaped because it showed the problem with the reports. And here's what's interesting. It said it seemed too ridiculous to be true and was mostly ignored, is what Shields writes. That's not what happened with McMartin. It was a huge panic that ensued. A lot of resources went into the investigation. It's like 360 people were interviewed, hundreds of students were interviewed and asked about what happened. And what you learn from this, and this is very important for future trials with children testifying, is that children are very suggestible. So if an adult asks a child, did this happen? The child will be more concerned about giving what they think is the right answer. They're more concerned about trying to get the answer right than telling the truth. They think that their job is to try to guess the correct answer to the question. So, for example, if you ask a 3 or 4 year old a nonsense question, like is milk bigger than water or is red heavier than yellow, they'll try to take cues from you to try to guess the right answer instead of recognizing it's a nonsense question and there is no correct answer. So they would ask the children, and the children started to say that they had been abused. And it's amazing to me that this went to trial, because some of the children were testifying to absolutely absurd things that just did not happen. So as Shields notes, one of the claims is that they were taken down in secret tunnels under the daycare for ritualistic satanic abuse. Some of the kids said that children could be flushed down a toilet and then they would end up in the tunnel under the daycare where they would be abused. Others said that animals were brought in to be abused, or they went in a hot air balloon. They said that they saw witches flying, all kinds of stuff that just, stretches the limits of reality or is clearly in the realm of fantasy. So then it went to trial. I think it was the longest, most expensive trial still in U.S. history. It was $15 million, $15 million, $1990, by the way. I mean, remember how many, remember when Big Macs were a dollar? I don't want to lose money on this. Back when they actually had a value menu where you could actually get a value for your dollar, what you were paying things for. So I don't know what that would be worth today, but that would be, if I had $15 million 1990s dollars, I'd be pretty set. So it went through, and then they found they did an investigation. The preschool was torn down. It was demolished, and there were no tunnels. There were no tunnels that were found there. So Shields, though, says in 1990, parents hired an archaeologist. So a lot of the parents were not willing to go with what the trial found, which is that, no, there's no evidence for this. This didn't happen. Said 1990, parents hired an archaeologist. He discovered tunnels. So Shields writes, he discovered tunnels full of satanic artifacts. In 2019, a FBI memo confirmed this. Okay, so let's run through what all this happened. Yes, it's true that the parents hired an archaeologist. They hired E. Gary Stickle to investigate the site, and he claimed that he had found underground tunnels with ground-penetrating radar. And so he crafted up and he wrote this report, and he said that he found satanic artifacts, or that he had found animal bones, that there had been the tunnels that he had found them. He claimed that he had found evidence of this stuff that he said that the McMartins went in and backfilled to try to hide. But his report has been debunked. That's not what happened. You can read an article by W. Joseph Wyatt from Marshall University called What Was Under the McMartin Preschool? A Review and Behavioral Analysis of the Tunnels Find. Okay, and that report shows Stickle thought that he found was a trash pit, actually. That this was a rural site, and what he found was a trash pit that had been filled in and then paved over, and that there were no tunnels, there couldn't have been tunnels underneath the concrete slab of the daycare center. And we can know what was in here because the trash that was in the tunnel, you could find it was tin cans and it was Coke bottles, all things that had been dated from the 1920s to the 1950s. So that was, the McMartin was built in 1966. There were a few items, or maybe like three items that were dated to after 1966. So there was one, like a plastic bag that had like the dates 1982, 1983 on it. But that was probably just dragged down there by a squirrel or a gopher into a burrow. And there were some like metal fasteners that had been dated after 1966 that probably came from a plumber that was working on the lines, not wanting to go through the concrete slab, but he just dug under the element of the foundation, just left some of them there. But otherwise, they didn't find any tunnels. So then Shields says, well, there's this 2019 FBI memo about it. Right. So the FBI has something called the Finders. So they had a bunch of documents about an allegation of abuse and cultural, you know, cultic abuse back in 1987 of a group called the Finders in Washington, D.C. But ultimately, it was shown that there were no charges that were filed. The evidence didn't line up for that. A lot of things were just misunderstood in that case, but it was lumped in with a lot of other similar cases of alleged satanic abuse and things like that for the 1980s. And so there's a big FBI file, and it includes a lot of different documents in it. And one of the documents that it has is just the report from Stickle. So it has Stickle's report in there with these claims like, oh, 45-foot tunnel, a 9-foot tunnel, and this and that. And that was all bogus. It's not like the FBI is saying, oh, the FBI confirmed the secret tunnels were found under there and people just forgot about it. No, this FBI memo included all different kinds of documents, including those from people who were on one particular side or another side. So basically had Stickle, the archaeologist, was hired by the parents. So he was in league with them and had bought into their story of thinking that, no, something really bad had to have happened. And Ted Gunderson, who was a former FBI agent who got involved in the case. He left the Bureau in 1979. Remember, this all happened starting in 83 and the trial began in 87. And so he was involved in this as a private consultant. But you can't say that him being involved, oh, the FBI said this. He didn't even work at the Bureau anymore. So the FBI memo just included a lot of different documents from different people. It's not saying the FBI agreed with Stickle's archaeological report here. And later reports like the Wyatt report that I've read to you here that you can go, it's a free PDF you can download. It was published in 2002, which shows that there's no structural supports. There's no evidence of an elaborate tunnel complex, just a trash pit that this was where McMartin Preschool was. It was a rural area before that in the 30s and 40s where there wasn't trash service. So you'd end up dumping your trash in a pit. There were animal bones there, bones that had evidence they had been cut with a banding saw, not anything for satanic abuse, but just when you're, you know, cutting livestock from a butcher or something like that. And they're chicken bones and fully grown cow bones, but fully grown animals, nothing to do with satanic abuse or anything like that. I love also when I look through Shields's ex posts, people say, where's the evidence for this? And he says, am I your research assistant? I love that someone floats a conspiracy and saying, okay, where's your evidence of the conspiracy? I'm not going to do the research for you. Okay. If you make a claim, you have to back up the claim. And it's amazing how this mentality had spread, and the McMartins are eventually exonerated. You've got people who are involved who are now grown up. These are people who are probably in their, you know, late 40s saying like, yeah, this didn't happen. I was confused. I was a little kid, or I lied, but I thought, you know, it'd be better to lie because I was worried about getting in trouble, things like that. And there's lots and lots of different cases like this. There was a similar one here in Austin, Texas, just a few years later in 1991, the Oak Hill Satanic Ritual Abuse case, where Fran and Dan Keller ran a small daycare in Austin, and they were accused of ritual satanic abuse. And then they were convicted and they were sentenced to 48 years in prison. But then they were let go in 2013 because of new information on misconduct among the prosecution. The charges were dismissed in 2017 and they were declared actually innocent, which means they could take legal action for their deprived freedom due to the misconduct in their case. But it was the same thing. Like, you had the kids saying things like they were taken in a plane to Mexico to be abused by soldiers and then brought back for their parents to pick them up by the end of the day. And just all kinds of fanciful scenarios, and people just sort of went along with it. So, yeah, I would just say when you come across fantastic claims, use your head, get the background knowledge, and don't just believe one side of a fantastic story. So that's all I wanted to talk about with that. Thank you all so much, and I hope you have a very blessed weekend.